tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. A police officer here in New York City killed in the line of duty. Another officer clinging to life, both shot while responding to a domestic dispute at an apartment in Harlem. The mayor calling the shooting an attack on the city of New York. The NYPD officers marking the third and fourth shot this week alone. Tonight, chilling new details from the deadly encounter and what authorities are saying about the rise in gun violence across the country. Also breaking tonight, the U.S. preparing to evacuate Americans from Ukraine, including embassy staff and their families, as the threat of a Russian invasion intensifies. The first shipment of recently approved U.S. military aid, including ammunition, arriving in the country. And tonight, more details on Russia's alleged plot to install a puppet regime in Ukraine. Our team is on the ground from the capital city, plus reporting from the White House. Omicron may be declining in early hit areas, but it's surging elsewhere, still overwhelming hospitals and staff nationwide. About 83% of ICU beds now occupied. The debate over masks raging in school districts across the country. In Virginia, a woman now charged after making comments about guns at a school board meeting, as New York and New Jersey consider changing their mask guidance. Tonight, that dangerous Arctic blast menacing millions of Americans and creating treacherous driving conditions. Rob Marciano standing by to time it all out. A wind-fueled wildfire forcing evacuations in California. What these raging flames in the winter could tell us about the impact of climate change on the state's fire season. Americans feeling the financial squeeze on multiple fronts. The latest blow on Wall Street, stocks plunging off to their worst start to a year since 2016 as COVID relief expires and inflation takes hold. And America strong tonight, the Betty White Challenge raising millions of dollars for her pet cause, and the newly released message from Betty to her fans.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on a busy Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. We're following several major stories tonight, including significant developments out of Ukraine. But we begin with that deadly shooting right here in New York. Two young police officers, both in their 20s, shot in the line of duty while responding to a domestic dispute. One was killed, the other at this hour fighting for his life. First responders overnight saluting their murdered brother as his body left the hospital. New York's mayor calling the incident an attack on all New York. Officer Jason Rivera died after being shot twice by the suspect. Officer Wilbert Mora is in critical condition, wounded in the back of his head. The alleged gunman also shot in the neck and shoulder by a third officer who was on the scene. That officer is being credited with preventing further violence. The gun police say was used by the suspect was a stolen Glock 45 pistol with a high-capacity magazine. President Biden tweeting that he and the First Lady are saddened by the shooting and grateful for law enforcement officers and their families. Also tonight, the new numbers, an alarming rise in gun violence across the country. ABC's Phil Lipoff leads us off from Harlem.
New York City tonight reeling from the death of one of its finest, shot and killed in the line of duty. Police say three young officers responded after a mother called them from her Harlem apartment late Friday, saying she'd been, quote, having problems with her son, 47-year-old LaShawn McNeil. McNeil refusing to come out of a back room. Police say when rookie officer Jason Rivera approaches, McNeil begins to fire. Officer Rivera, just 22 years old, is killed. Standing right behind him is partner 27-year-old Wilbert Mora. Mora is then shot in the back of the head. A third officer, also a rookie, returned fire, hitting McNeil, who's now in the hospital. Both officers rushed to the hospital just three blocks away. Officer Mora tonight fighting for his life. Hours later, a silent procession for Officer Rivera.
This was just not an attack on three brave officers. This was an attack on the city of New York.
The NYPD releasing this picture of the Glock they say McNeil used to ambush the officers. Blood on the floor and a magazine capable of holding up to 40 rounds. Authorities say the gun was reported stolen in 2017 and are trying to figure out how it wound up in McNeil's hands. Mayor Eric Adams himself, a former police officer today, holding a roundtable on gun violence.
Just as there's just a small number of shooters, there's a small number of gun dealers.
that are supplying the large number of guns in our city.
Already this year, excluding suicides, more than 1,000 people in the U.S. have died from gun violence, up 7% from last year, and that includes 17 officers killed. The Police Benevolent Association pleading with the public.
The public has to send a message to anyone that dares to harm a New York City police officer. Not here, not now, not today, not to us.
Officers Rivera and Mora are the third and fourth members of the NYPD to be shot in the line of duty just this week.
A devastating week for the NYPD. Phil Lipoff joining us now from outside that Harlem hospital where the officers were taken. And Phil, we're hearing from Officer Jason Rivera's family tonight.
Right. We were able to talk to Officer Rivera's brother, Jeffrey, who tells ABC News that from the time Jason was a kid, all he wanted to do was be a police officer. And he was so thrilled when he was able to realize that dream recently. He was loved by his family and friends. Also tonight, New York City is joining Detroit and Chicago and making a desperate plea to the federal government to help stop the flow of illegal guns into big cities. Whit.
All right, Phil Lipoff with that awful story tonight. Thank you. We move on now to our other top story, the escalating crisis in Ukraine amid warnings of a possible Russian invasion. U.S. officials are now preparing to approve the evacuation of some American diplomats and their families from the embassy in Ukraine. This as the U.S. is rushing more military aid to the country, the first shipment of a new $200 million package arriving, including ammunition. And Britain tonight revealing explosive intelligence about an alleged Russian plot. Here's ABC's White House correspondent, Mary Alice Parks.
Tonight, sources from the administration confirming the U.S. State Department is preparing to approve the evacuation of some American diplomats and their families from the embassy in Ukraine as the security situation deteriorates and becomes increasingly unpredictable. Unlike in Afghanistan, embassy staff and families would most likely be flown out on commercial flights. Other Americans have already been advised not to travel to Ukraine, and those in the country will be warned this week to depart. Overnight, the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine releasing these photos showing more than 90 tons of U.S. military aid arriving, including ammunition. The first shipment, a part of $200 million in assistance President Biden approved last month to help Ukraine's military. Our Patrick Reeval on the ground in Ukraine's capital.
The U.S. is now rushing more military assistance to Ukraine, something that it used to be extremely cautious about doing. Besides its own deliveries, it's even allowing Lithuania to send American-made Stinger missiles here. This is exactly the type of assistance that the Kremlin is calling a red line.
Tonight, the British government going public with this startling accusation, claiming they have intelligence the Russian government is, quote, looking to install a pro-Russian leader in Kyiv as it considers whether to invade and occupy Ukraine. While they did not provide details, the British listed several names of former Ukrainian officials they claim are linked to Russian intelligence officers. The White House saying this kind of plotting is deeply concerning. After meetings in Geneva this week, both U.S. and Russian diplomats agreed to keep talking, which could be a good sign the temperature has lowered a bit. But this week, Russia also made a point of showing the world it was sending more troops to areas north of Ukraine, too, putting out this video of jets taking off for neighboring Belarus and soldiers training to Ukraine's east.
The Ukrainian people are determined. They are ready to fight. It's only gotten worse with all three borders, now with the Russians going into Belarus, so it's now also on their northern border.
Mary Alice Parks back with us from the White House tonight. Mary Alice, how is President Biden monitoring developments in the region this weekend?
With the president is not here. He's up at Camp David. The White House says he's meeting with members of his national security team, some with him in person there, others joining virtually. And the State Department said that Secretary Blinken this weekend is also continuing conversations with allies about the situation. Whit.
All right, Mary Alice, with those major developments, thank you. And be sure to watch this week. Tomorrow morning, Martha Raddatz goes one-on-one with Senators Chris Coons and Joni Ernst about the latest U.S.-Russia tensions. We turn now to the pandemic and the urgent fight against Omicron. There are hopeful signs, but also concerns. Cases are falling in early hotspots like the Northeast, New York, and neighboring New Jersey. Now taking a look at possibly lifting school mask mandates before the end of this academic year. But things are very different in other parts of the country where rising case numbers are pushing hospitals and healthcare workers to the brink. ICU capacity nationwide for both COVID and non-COVID patients is now at its highest level in a year. ABC's Zareen Shah is in Los Angeles tonight.
Tonight, a mixed picture in the urgent battle against Omicron. Cases now falling or plateauing in more than half the country, including the Northeast, but the situation still critical in several states. Wisconsin leading the nation in new cases per capita. One ER nurse saying patients are waiting hours for broken bones because no beds are available.
She's sitting there with her arm angulated, and that has to wait because this person can't breathe.
This week, hospitalizations near a pandemic record, 157,000 patients receiving care. Along with the crush of patients, more than 1,800 Americans reportedly losing their lives to COVID every day, up 10% since Tuesday.
It's hard to see family members knowing that their patients are not going to make it.
37-year-old New Jersey mother Michelle Stanny contracted COVID last month while pregnant with her fourth child.
As soon as she got intubated, it just kept getting worse and worse.
After delivering her baby just before Christmas, Stanny died from COVID complications. She was never able to hold her youngest son.
It broke her heart. Yeah, it crushed her spirit.
Her brother telling ABC he does not know if she was vaccinated. And tonight, the federal government urging Americans to get up to date on their vaccinations, citing several new studies. One showing boosters slashed the risk of heading to the ER by 94% when it comes to the Delta variant and 82% for Omicron.
Unvaccinated are nearly 14 more times more likely to be infected and 53 times more likely to die.
And the mask debate still raging in schools. This Virginia mother arrested and released on a $5,000 bond after threatening to bring a gun to her child's school if the district did not end its mask mandate.
My children will not come to school on Monday with a mask on. All right? That's not happening. And I will bring every single gun loaded and ready to, I will call every.
That's 3 minutes.
The mom later telling police her statement at the Page County School Board meeting was not intended the way it was perceived. But this may not be a debate much longer. In places like New York, mask mandates may be ending soon.
Here in California, state senators are trying to pass a proposal for kids as young as 12 to get any FDA-approved vaccine without their parents' consent. They say some parents are getting in their kids' way.
All right, Zareen, thank you. Now to the dangerous Arctic blast impacting millions tonight. Frigid temperatures right here in the east as parts of the south brace for more slick roads after snow and ice hit several states overnight. This plane you see here sliding off the runway at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. No one was hurt, but treacherous travel conditions expected to last through the weekend. Here's ABC's Kenneth Moten.
Tonight, millions in the east are still battling bitterly cold temperatures as parts of the south brace for more icy conditions following a blast of snow and ice. Freezing rain leading to dangerous driving, vehicles sliding off roads.
When you guys started to creep out today, what were your concerns?
Actually the drivers, just because nobody's really experienced driving on ice here.
Icy conditions on the runway caused a plane to skid into the mud at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. No injuries reported. In South Carolina, freezing rain icing over trees and power lines. Thick sheets of ice forming on windshields. Those hazardous winter weather conditions across several states. Right now, concerns over outages. Crews rushing to restore power to customers before temperatures plummet.
What's your advice to other drivers?
Stay home.
Wet above freezing temperatures help the roads in this region today, but the black ice concerns continue overnight as the temperatures dip once again. Wet.
Kenneth, thanks. Let's get right to ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. And Rob, these bitter cold temperatures are going to linger throughout the weekend.
Yeah, when the refreeze threat tonight in the icy snow zone is for real, the longer-term trend is a cold one as well for the east. Look at these numbers in the morning. We're going to see temperatures that will feel below freezing all the way down to Atlanta, Tallahassee, New Orleans, Raleigh. You'll keep the snow, as will Virginia Beach. And then we've got a couple of more pulses of clipper systems that will bring in some snow. Good thumping tonight, I think, in Chicago. Could see 2 to 5 inches of snow. Then Fort Wayne, Indianapolis, Columbus, into Pittsburgh tomorrow afternoon. And then another one behind this on Wednesday. And temperatures towards the end of the week, end of the month, will be below average. Average in the east. Whit.
And we know you'll be tracking it for GMA in the morning. Rob, thank you. We turn now to the financial squeeze on so many Americans. Gas and food prices spiking as some crucial pandemic relief measures come to an end. The latest hit coming with a devastating week on Wall Street, the worst start to a year since 2016. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bolton.
Tonight, American families squeezed under growing economic pressure, hammering their finances on multiple fronts. Wall Street off to its worst start to a year since 2016. The Dow plummeting more than 1,700 points this week. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ posting their worst week since the early days of the pandemic. Stocks that have soared during the health crisis like Zoom, Netflix, even Amazon, all taking deep dives. This week's market plunge wiping out more than $7,300 from the average American's 401k retirement fund. At the gas station and the supermarket, customers hit with sticker shock.
Either fill it up or walk.
Supply chain issues and near 40-year high inflation sending prices skyrocketing. The cost of meats, poultry, fish, and eggs surging 12.5% compared to last year. The price hikes effectively erasing many of the hard-fought wage increases workers have negotiated during the pandemic.
We're going to see consumers tighten their belts.
Adding to the misery for tens of millions of families, the recent expiration of expanded child tax credits, critical pandemic relief that provided parents with monthly payments of up to $300 per child.
It'd be a week's worth of groceries, frankly. That's what it equates to for us. It makes me feel just upset.
Also expiring, mortgage relief passed as part of the CARES Act. This as housing prices rise for the longest streak in almost a decade.
Mortgage rates have been moving higher these last 3 weeks. Experts say that is likely to continue in 2022. Rents also forecast to rise. Whit?
Been one thing after another. All right, Deirdre, thank you. There is much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. Shocking new images of a four-car pileup involving Arnold Schwarzenegger and a raging wildfire in California forcing evacuation. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
In the west tonight, strong dry winds fueling a wildfire near the Central California coast south of Monterey. A so-called Colorado fire burning overnight, forcing some evacuations and the closure of Highway 1 in the Big Sur area. Experts say wintertime fires like these offer more evidence that climate change is impacting the state's fire season. New images tonight showing the mangled aftermath of a four-car pileup in Los Angeles involving Arnold Schwarzenegger. In this photo obtained by TMZ, a red Toyota Prius can be seen jammed under the former California governor's black GMC Yukon. The woman driving the Prius was transported to a local hospital. No other injuries reported, and authorities made no arrests. To the index tonight, a tragedy outside of Atlanta, a stray bullet piercing an apartment wall, killing an English astrophysicist. He was inside visiting his long-term girlfriend. The couple reportedly heard more than 30 gunshots prior to the fatal blow. Authorities say the shooting appeared to be a random act involving individuals participating in the reckless discharge of firearms. Another story we're following tonight, another Jeopardy record is set. The game show's reigning champion, Amy Schneider, is continuing her ascent up the leaderboard, now tying in second for most consecutive wins. She has now won 38 games in a row and is the show's first woman to pass $1 million in earnings. Finally tonight, a follow to the Betty White Challenge, her lasting legacy and fans stepping up to save the animals.
As Americans mourn the loss of beloved actress Betty White, they stepped up in a big way on what would have been her 100th birthday. The Betty White Challenge going viral on social media this week with posts like this one. Pick a local rescue or animal shelter in your area and donate. Those contributions pouring in from around the world. Facebook and Instagram's parent company, Meta, reporting more than $12.7 million raised through their sites from more than 390,000 people. From Colorado, where the Foothills Animal Shelter received almost $30,000.
Betty White was certainly an icon in everyone's eyes here, and we are overwhelmed with gratitude.
To Indiana, where more than 1,000 donors helped raise money for food, medicine, and training at the Humane Society of Hamilton County.
I've never seen anything like this. It was remarkable to see. For this to turn into a life-saving opportunity for these animals was completely unexpected.
In Brewster, New York, Snar Animal Rescue Northeast telling us donations exceeded expectations.
We just wanted to say a huge thank you to all of those who supported us.
And the Los Angeles Zoo, a place so dear to Betty White's heart, raising over $94,000.
Betty was not an advocate just for the LA Zoo and the animals here, but for animals all over the world.
White's grateful team sharing her last video pre-recorded 11 days before she died.
I just want to thank you all for your love and support over the years. Thank you so much.
Her legions of fans inspired by Betty's big heart and passion for giving.
We think Betty would have been proud. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. Good night.